You know, the Lord's reminding me of there was a time in Egypt that the children of Israel, they were crying out because they were in bondage. Because life was hard, life was tough, life wasn't right, things weren't easy. And they started crying out to the Lord. You know what the Bible says? He heard them. What a great word. When they cried out to the Lord, He heard them. You know? Just think about that. Every time you've been discouraged, every time you've been hurt, been wounded, been whatever, every time you cried out to the Lord, He heard you. Wow. What an amazing God. That every time we cry out to Him, He hears us. But you know, He doesn't leave us there. You know, immediately plans were instituted to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. You think about that. When they finally cried out, not when God thought they needed it, but when they cried out. Isn't that so true? I mean, just ask yourself the question tonight, when have you been the closest to God? And I bet it's going to be that was in a time that you were really crying out to Him, right? I mean, it makes a lot of sense, huh? It's not brain surgery. When you were needing God and you cried out to Him, boom, that's when He showed up. Amen. And I just hear the Lord saying tonight that still the same today. Praise God, it's still the same today. That no matter where we are, that we need to take confidence tonight. That when we cry out to Him, He hears us. So Laura, sing this song again. And as we worship the Lord, just right there in your heart, you just cry out to Him. And then just watch what He'll do for you. Go ahead and sing it from the top. Jesus, we can't do it without You. We've got to have You in our lives. We've got to have more of You in our lives. Lord, so I pray over each and every person tonight, just an increase, Lord, an increase of Your Spirit in our lives. an increase of the awareness of you, Jesus. Lord, you're all just all over it. All over us, filling us, moving in everything in our lives. So amazing, Lord. So amazing, Lord. You're so amazing, Jesus. So amazing. Now, church, let's just get with one another tonight and pray. Just find you somebody to pray with. If you've got some certain need, then share it. But just grab hold of somebody and let's just pray. Talk to the Lord tonight. Take some time here. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Well, I have something that I want to start to share with you guys that I think will bless you. Y'all know that, you know, since June, when Dwayne and Tracy started to help Laura and I with the services and mostly help me, give me a break and some time off, that I've been sneaking around in churches. I've been slipping around in other churches and trying to see what's going on. It's been a lot of fun. You know, one instance I'll tell you, and let me put it to you this way. The bottom line is, I've come to the conclusion that if I didn't know Jesus, okay, and I wanted to find Jesus, I would probably never go to church. That was the determination I came up with after 4 or 5 months slipping around. It's so funny to go in when nobody knows who you are. And, you know, just see how everybody treats you. And so, you know, one service I wore the same clothes for about 3 or 4 days and got kind of grungy looking. And then I rode my Harley into a church and then put on my, you know, my most unfriendliest face, which, you know, I could work up, and didn't take too much to work it up, but, you know. And I went into this church just to see what would happen. And I knew the church and knew all about it and knew where I was going, but I just wanted to see what would happen. And so I walked in the doors of the church and, you know, didn't look friendly at all. Man, nobody wanted to even come up to me. Nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to give me a visitor's card. Nobody wanted to give me anything. Nobody welcomed me as a guest. I went into the bathroom, and usually around the bathroom, somebody at least say, well, hello, or how are you doing, or, you know, something, and nobody would say anything to me. And then I went into the church, and I was a little bit late, and I did it on purpose. I was a little late, and like 5 minutes late to the service starting, and I went in, and church is pretty full up, and there wasn't any place really to sit, and man, nobody would even give me any direction. Nobody didn't invite me to sit, and I noticed a few people that I kind of, you know, like made a move to sit beside them, you know, because it was the only seat available, and, you know, I noticed them slide their Bible over or something, you know, they didn't really, yeah, exactly. So I look, you know, I walk around and stand in the back. I'm trying to find no usher to talk to me, nobody, and there were ushers were all there, and everybody was busy doing church, you know. And so I finally looked over and I saw this other biker dude, you know, sitting over there. And he was sitting there, and there was like two seats or three beside him that nobody wanted to sit by him. So I was like, that's the guy I want to go sit by. And so I went down and sat down by him. He looked at me, you know, and I looked at him. I smiled, and he smiled, shook hands, you know. And he was like, I could see him become relaxed because I was there. You know, he had somebody he could relate to. And it was so funny because other people came in, but nobody, I mean, they were like sitting on everybody's lap, but nobody was going to come sit over there by me and him. And, you know, the church service went off just like every church service would go, just like I could say our church service would go. And so, you know, that's just one story of a whole bunch I've got. But through all of this, God has just been dealing with me for the last, ever since June, really, has just been dealing with me, dealing with me, dealing with me. And I just keep saying to him, Lord, just tell me what you want to do and I'll do it. I mean, you know, whatever you want to do, you want to make this a drive-in church and knock all the walls, that I'll do it, man. I'm not scared at all because I want people to feel they can come and know Jesus. And that's the most important thing. And it's all, and I don't care. I don't give a flip about religion or hoopla. I just don't care about it. I'm just so sick of it, and especially from my experience. You know, it just made me. I mean, literally, there's some churches I could not walk through the front door. I mean, I'm talking about, man, I'm Dr. Robert Richards, and I love Jesus with all my heart, but I could not make myself go in the doors of the church. And so something's wrong. When I don't feel welcome, I don't even feel like I can even go in there. So I've been doing a lot of praying, and I was going to wait till the first of the year to start talking about some of this stuff. And you're going to hear a whole lot of the same thing going over and over again, because I'm really going to just pound it and pound it in you, and just and it's really, I'm preaching it to try to get more revelation. I got more revelation tonight just of what does Jesus want. And I'm telling you, what he wants is the world to know him. You know, that's the bottom line. He wants the world to know him. He wants people to be able to come to know Jesus and not think for a moment that they might not be good enough, or they might not be dressed well enough, or not be, of the right standard to be, you know. I mean, he wants that gone away with. Jesus wants it done away with. Okay? And, I went to all churches, so it's not saying, I'm not picking on any certain denomination or anything. I went to all kinds of churches. I went to denominational churches. I went to Holy Ghost churches. I went to all kinds of churches. And I saw the same thing. And then, you know, I talk with Ivan all the time, and I talk with Pastor Wynn all the time, going over in Europe and Wales and whatever. And the same thing is everywhere. And so I'm going to get into all of this all more. But I just want to tell you seven things that I think is going to happen pretty quick. Now, when I say pretty quick, my timing and Jesus' timing may not be the same. Okay? May happen in 2014. But one thing you can bet on for sure is going to start happening around here, because I'd rather be ahead of the game. And I want to tell you this, and I mean this honestly, and this is not because I'm the pastor of this church. Of all the churches that I attended, this is the best one. And I'm saying that, I mean, honestly, as an observer, praise God, y'all are the greatest people in the world. And, I think around here, there's a lot of things we're doing right. Okay, there's a lot of things we're doing right. One of the first things we've got to do is get a sign on the front door that says that's the front door of the church. I went to some churches, I couldn't figure out how to get in. And I thought, well, this is real funny. I don't know how to get into that place. Where's the door? You know? I mean, really, it was kind of crazy. I was like walking around like, okay, feel kind of stupid out here. Where's the door of the church? So I thought, we need a bigger sign up front. Seems pretty obvious to us, but we've been coming to church here forever. Right? We need a sign up front that says, here's the front door of the church. If you don't like this one, come around to the side. Got two more over here. But seven things that I think are going to happen. And what's kind of funny is I just got this tonight and started laughing because how many of y'all watched, did anybody see Jay Leno last night? Got that one over here? And nobody stayed up that late to see that? I stayed up because President George Bush was on last night, 43. And I wanted to see, you know, how do you have a man who's gone through 8 years of presidency and all these kind of stuff like this and been beat up and everything, the whole problems of the world have all been pointed at him and he's the bad guy, he's the bad guy. How do you go on now that it's all over with and he could say anything that he wanted to, right? And what's he going to do? And the man was so gracious, so humble. Him and Laura were both there, and it was just really a blessing to see him. And I started saying, you know, this guy doesn't, he's not about to say anything bad about the presidency now or anything. And he just, you know, very, 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 very gracious. And so I started thinking about, I ought to be able to find one good thing about our president. You know, whether it's he's tall, I ought to find something. And it hit me. Now just listen to this, okay? This is pretty out there, all right? And so we may have to erase this tape when it's over with, but it's pretty out there. But I almost believe, no, I do believe, that he actually was prophetic in his message of hope and change. That was his slogan, right? Hope and change. It was just hope and change. But he's just prophesying from the wrong end or whatever you would say. I believe Jesus wants some hope and change. I believe Jesus has hope and change in the church and what's about to take place. I'm actually calling this message Hope and Change. Because Jesus has got a hope and there's a change coming. All right? And so, I'm just, like I said, you're going to hear a lot of this same thing going over and over again. I want to say the same thing over and over again. And so, y'all just love me and we're going to keep doing it until we get it right. Number one thing that I believe is going to happen is there's going to be a major shift in the in church dynamics. You say, well, what's that going to be? Well, I'm not real sure, 100%. But there's going to be a major shift you're going to see in the years to come of the way that we say church is done. Okay? I don't understand it all. I can't tell you. I have some ideas of what he's wanting to do. But Jesus is wanting things to change. And just like you saw a change in 1900 and the Pentecostal movement came in, saw a change in the 60s, you saw a change in the 70s, you saw a change in the 80s. There's a change coming, and God's going to be doing something different. And I believe the first thing that you're going to see that's going to be a church change, actually this is the second thing you're going to see change. How about that? I want to see if I can follow my outline here. First thing you'll see is a major shift in church dynamics. The second thing you're going to see is an increase of boldness in the believers. Now, forever on Wednesday nights, I've had y'all praying for one another, right? Because we don't need to be in the chair. We need to be ministering to one another, all right? And you need to get bold in who you pray for and how you talk to people about Jesus and what you say and to be able to not be afraid to talk to people. But it's just like the Lord said, there's going to be a boldness. There's going to be a new boldness come in the believers. How many of y'all have ever wanted to pray for somebody or wanted to say something to somebody, but you felt intimidated? All of us have, right? But I believe there's going to be a new boldness because what's happened is the enemy, you got to understand something. Every time God does something, the enemy comes in and wants to do the false thing, right? All right? Like you can always see it in music. Okay? God wants worship, but then it turns into, you know, something demonic. You know, there's a God band and a devil band going on at the same time. Y'all with me? And so there's something that's positive and there's something that's negative. Boldness in the believer doesn't mean that we stand on the side of the road in a white sheet with a big family Bible and a tambourine and, you know, try to beat everybody over the head with it, okay? But that's been done. Right? I told you all the story about back in Florida when my daughter was kept going to every Saturday she'd go by then there's all these people out from this church and they're standing on the street corners and as they were coming by they're all holding up, you know, signs that said, you know, if you don't turn from your sins you're going to burn in hell and all this kind of stuff, you know, and ever right in the major intersection they were always there every week and finally she got tired of it. She just got out one day of her car, pulled it over. What other time said, don't you think you could tell somebody that God loves them and you may get something better response than standing there and telling everybody's going to burn in hell? And they were just like, couldn't even come back, you know, with anything. She said, this is ridiculous. Y'all ought to change your signs. There's nothing wrong with coming out here being bold, but say the right thing, you know? Well, so wouldn't it be cool to have believers who were bold, but it was right? Are y'all with me? Just that it was right. It was godly. It was righteous. It was wholesome. It was good. That wasn't flaky. It wasn't unusual. It wasn't weird. It was just good, wholesome, healthy boldness. It just said, man, let me help you with that. And through all that conversation, you know, that person came to understand that Jesus loved them. The third thing that's going to happen is there's going to be an increase of power. You're going to find that as there's boldness in the believers, there's going to become an increase of power in their lives. Now, I can guarantee there'll be some flakiness go on, but y'all don't have to worry about that. I'll take care of it. All right? One of the first things you're going to learn and really get down into your heart and your spirit is Maggie's been teaching on Sundays in the Sunday school on the gifts of the Spirit. But you know what? The church has never really, and again, I'm not talking specific, I'm not talking about y'all. Just, you know, don't anybody get offended over this. Well, I guess if you do, we just, you know, need to go on, get out the door, and then we'll sort it out later. But one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to start to see in the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry, the true apostle, the true evangelist, the true pastor, the true teacher, the true prophet is going to rise up, and there's going to be a healthy, godly respect for that gift. And, you know, we may have a few Ananias and Sapphiras that drop dead. Okay? But that's where the new church started out. And there's going to be a healthy respect come in there for those office gifts, the true office gifts. You got to understand, when you go read through the book of Acts, just go read through the book of Acts. All over the place, there was God moving with men of God that were truly men of God. And it says, beware of the false prophets. Beware of the false this. Beware of the false that. It was happening then. Okay? It was no difference. Folks, there's good pastors and there's bad pastors. All right? And so when this increase of power comes, it's going to be an increase of power for the believer and for the gifts. But that includes the offices. Okay? To where a pastor can get up and speak to an assembly, and people are going to stop and listen because it's going to be, they're going to know it's straight from heaven. All right? Okay, so that's the third thing that's going to happen. But the fourth thing I really like, the fourth thing that's going to happen is there's going to be an increase of joy. Okay? Now, if you go look at Acts 2, as soon as the day of Pentecost fell, and then the all believers are coming together, and it says that they were all selling everything they had and distributing amongst everybody, and everybody was, hey, tell me there wasn't joy there. See, when God establishes the church the way he wants the church established, joy comes. And when it's not established right, it doesn't bring joy. It should bring joy. And so one of the great things I can tell you that you're going to look forward to is joy. Joy. People aren't going to be sitting around saying, oh man, we got to get up and go to church this morning. I won't say that anymore, sweetie. Yeah, there's going to be an increase of joy. Okay, so there's going to be a shift in church dynamics. There's going to be an increase of boldness in the believers. There's going to be an increase of power. And that's going to be pretty over everything. There's going to be an increase of joy. Okay, the fifth thing that's going to happen is there's going to be an understanding coming to the believers. Okay, people that have forever said, they're going to start to say, oh, I got it. Understand that. Wow, I understand what they're talking about now. All these years I've always heard that, and then, wow, now I got it. You know, have you ever tried to put something together by the instructions? Huh? Okay. You know, I'm a typical man, and I'm a scanner. Okay? I never read much. I scan lots of things. And so, the other night, one of the guys that worked for me had a shotgun that he wanted me to take apart and put this piece on there. And it's a really new type of weapon, and it's just really strange looking and everything. It's completely different. And so I wanted the challenge to take it apart and see how it worked, because I never had really messed with one. And so I got it home, and I said, well, I better read the instructions, you know. So I got the instruction manual out. And so I looked at this one little card because it was the smallest amount of information, you know, and I just noticed it says, go to page, you know, whatever, and, you know, for disassembly of the gun. And so I just went to that page. Well, you know, there was like four more pages before that I should have been reading. And so I started like basically in the middle of the instructions. So, of course, I start taking this thing apart and it won't come apart. But I had enough wisdom not to force anything and then put it all back together right quick, you know, screw all the pieces back in before I mess something up, and then took time to go through the instructions, you know, and then I had to go over it real slowly. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a minute, now I see what they're talking about. Well, see, there's been a lot of Christians that are just going through the motions, and they don't really have, they may have the right info, but it never has really dawned on them what Christianity is all about. It never has really dawned on them about why you go to church, why you read your Bible, why you pray, you know, why you're a witness to other people. Why you've never really understood all these things. That I'll let the preacher do it. Let this happen. Yeah, whatever. You know, somebody will take care of that. Whatever. And all of a sudden, it's going to kapoom. It's going to come and understand to them. They're going to say, "Oh my gosh!" Now, see, the good news is I'm telling you, I can't do that. That takes a move of the Holy Ghost. So that means you're going to get a visitation of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's going to make things, and all of a sudden you're going to start to see things. You're going to go, wow, I understand that now. You know, years ago I was in the jails preaching. I know I've told this story before, but I was in the jails preaching, and I'll never forget there was this man there, and as I was preaching, he just kept going, yeah. I'd say, well, you know, Jesus, just kept doing it. So I got irritated. So in a minute, I just went over there to him and said, look, man, what is the problem? You know, I mean, really, what's the problem? And he said, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is you preachers. I said, well, what's wrong with preachers? He said, I still remember when I was going to vacation Bible school, my brother acted up and the pastor slapped him in the back of the head and told him to settle down. And I thought, that ain't no way for a preacher to act. And he said, I ain't never been to church since then. That's the way preachers are. I said, really? I said, you mean you've lived by that rule your whole life till you ended up in jail, and now you're faced with me today, and this is where you ended up by having that attitude, and you think maybe you made the right decision or the wrong decision? He just looked at me and says, well, I never really thought about it like that. And I said, I'm sorry the preacher hit your brother. I'm sorry. That was the wrong way to do it. There's a wrong way to handle it. That was absolutely wrong. I apologize for that preacher, whoever he was, where he was. But man, you got to forgive that guy and get your life right. Look, you're standing here in jail. And it just came over him like a rush, like, wow, I never thought about that. Well, I believe that there's going to be an understanding come to believers. It's going to pop open finally for a change. They're going to understand the stupidity they've been doing because somebody did them wrong or whatever that's costing them their joy and their life and their victory in Christ because the devil threw some stumbling block in front of them and they fell over it. Their eyes are going to open up and they're going to see it. Okay, so that the sixth one then. The sixth thing that's going to happen is that there's going to be an increase of revelation of who Jesus is in the world. Now, this also has to take place by the Holy Ghost. In other words, you know, if you watch television, the History Channel or the Discovery Channel, whichever one of those ones it is, they'll have one thing on about how wonderful Jesus was. And then the next week they'll have something on like how wrong the Bible is. You know what I'm saying? It's like one week you're like, oh my gosh, way to go. Wait, that's a good word, guys. The next thing you're like, oh my God, cut it off. You know, what is this? You notice that? Well, all of a sudden I believe that there's going to be a revelation of who Jesus really is, who the real Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit some way is going to birth it in the world, that they're going to start to see, wow, Jesus is really good. Because see, a lot of people in the church, in the world, believe God is demanding. They believe God is angry. They believe God puts sickness on people. They believe that God sends tornadoes and hurricanes and you know, kills people left and right. And he's just up there basically just a killjoy, doing whatever he wants. Y'all with me? And that's going to change. The real Jesus is going to be revealed. It's going to pop open and they're going to see it. See, I'm not a doomsdayist. I got to tell you all this. I'm not a doomsdayist. I do not believe that we're going out of here on a bad note. Okay? I do not believe that the world's going to get in such a bad place and then Jesus is going to show up and then we're going to be gone. I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says that if the owner would have known the hour that the thief was coming, he'd have waited up for him. And it says that, and it also says that the end will come like the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were being merry. And so I just believe that Jesus is not coming back and planet Earth as we know it is going to change and all that's going to happen and on a bad note. I believe it's going to happen on a good note. I believe it's going to be the best days of the church, the greatest days in the world, the greatest revival going on, people getting saved, touched, blessed, healed. Everything's going on. It's going to be glorious, and then he comes back. All right? So I'm not a doomsdayist. All right? And I believe that, you know, I'm going out on the first boatload. I don't know what anybody else is going to do. Anybody wants to go through the tribulation or whatever, they can go do that stupidity, but I'm not. I'm out of here on the first boatload. I won't be sitting up in heaven with my feet kicked up at the marriage supper of the Lamb enjoying life rather than down here. Okay? And the seventh thing that I believe is going to happen, and it kind of goes along with number six, is that the world is going to be open to receive. Do you know right now already, there's already a change happening in the world. It's so short, it makes me laugh that you know, we've been through all this stuff about gay marriage and accepting gay marriage and, you know, and that it could legally be married. All the states have not even adopted that, and you guess what's happening? Gay marriage is on the decrease now. I mean, go figure. We've been in a fight and stirred up, and everybody's been this and that and the other for all this time. All of a sudden, before they can even get it all put into place, it's already on the decrease. Okay? All I'm saying is that all of a sudden, maybe people may start waking up and saying, you know what I'm doing, that may just not be the best thing. You know, living like I've been living, just maybe it's not the best way in life. But the world's going to be open to receive. They're going to be open. They're all of a sudden, their hearts are going to, because see, nobody is going to receive anything from heaven unless their hearts are open. Because God's never going to force anything upon anybody. He doesn't do that. And a lot of preachers are preaching, and you know, and I don't mind being wrong, or not being wrong. I do mind being wrong, but I mean, I don't mind being not in agreement with everybody else. How about that? I don't want to be wrong, but I don't mind being the one that's not in agreement. But a lot of people are preaching everything's going to go really bad, going to go really south, it's going to be horrible, it's going to be terrible, it's going to be terrible times, and then that's going to cause people to turn to Jesus. I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. It's like years ago when we used to do a lot of outreach in Mexico with rice and beans. And we got to noticing after a while that everybody was a Christian if they thought they were going to get a bag of rice and beans. And so we used to call them rice Christians, you know, because everybody that day was a saint, you know, coming out because they knew they were going to get some rice and beans. And we started noticing this trend. So then we had to stop passing out the food and then preaching, you know, we started changing it around to where we had to do more ministry and then offer food or whatever like that. We had to change the way we were doing things because basically we were just creating people to become Christians because they wanted the food. And so that's kind of what would happen if the world went bad. And then, you know what I'm saying, then everybody would just turn to Jesus. I don't know if that's the right way. He didn't want it that way. Jesus wants people to love him for who he is, for his goodness, for his mercy, for his grace. He wants people to come to an understanding and say, man, I want to be a Christian because, man, I want to be a part of that guy. I want that in my life. I want to walk in righteousness. I want to walk like Jesus did because I have a lot of respect for him. Right? On the day that Jesus was crucified, Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. You can see it in the scriptures. He didn't want to crucify Jesus. But public opinion and the pressure, the political pressure, forced him to do something he didn't want to do. I just believe the world's going to change. It's going to be the opposite. They're going to be open to receive. And they're going to say, wait. This is what we want. Amen? This is what we want. So there's going to be a shift in church dynamics. There's going to be an increase of boldness in the believers. There's going to be an increase of power and authority. There's going to be an increase of joy. I really like that one. Number five says there's going to be an understanding coming to the believers. Number six, there's going to be an increase of revelation of Jesus in the world. Number seven, the world's going to be open to receive. That's what's going to happen shortly. And the reason why I say shortly, because no matter who I talk to, no matter where they are in the world, they're all feeling the same thing. There's something already happening in the church world that just tells me that we're right on the brink of a major shift, a major move. Okay? And like I said, I don't have everything down. I don't have an understanding of everything yet. But I sure got an eye-opening experience going around just going to churches and looking and seeing what was going on and some things that need to be changed and things that are going on. And it's going to be good. I'm just telling you, it's going to be good. I am encouraged. I wish I knew everything because I don't like walking into it blindly. I wish God would tell me, you know, lay it all out and spill the beans totally. And he hadn't to me. But everybody I talk to, nobody knows. Okay? There's not a pastor I can speak that I've talked to anywhere, either first or second hand from around this world that can tell me what's going to happen. But they all know something's about to happen. And all of them are feeling the same things, saying the same things. And so you can't tell me it's not a move of God. So the exciting thing is we get to be in the middle of a major shift. Right? We get to be right in the middle of it. And I can guarantee you this church and you awesome people are going to be right in the forefront. You're going to see the greatest days of your life. They're right ahead of you. Greatest miracles you've ever seen right ahead of you. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Amen? So, that'll give you something to chew on, give you something to pray about. Like I said, you're going to hear a whole lot more of this. I'm going to keep going over it and adding stuff and building, but it's going to be good. So everybody, you know, I'm looking across here. Most of y'all are always in Sunday school anyway, so I know Maggie's doing a great thing. She's right on line with that teaching on your gifts because that has to do with building your confidence and putting boldness in the believers and understanding what God's doing. So I encourage you to be there for that. And I'm going to be doing some teaching on it myself and bringing up some stuff and getting your understanding opened up. Amen. So it's going to be good. So praise God. Well, anybody needs an offering envelope, lift your hands and Bill will get you one. Everybody getting ready for Thanksgiving? Got the big old turkey outside, just about all fattened up, ready to get picked. Yeah, he's in the freezer. Man, I'm glad we don't have to go out and shoot a turkey and pick it. Or skin it. It ain't no fun. What's that?
Your Thanksgiving dinner.
It's about right. All right, well, put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you tonight. Thank you for giving. I thank you for people being blessed. I just thank you tonight, Lord God, that we live in the greatest days of the world, in the greatest place in the world. And I just believe you for just, Lord, increase in everyone's life and everyone's business and everything that's going on. And Lord, we just give you praise for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What's going on Sunday? Just a Sunday. For Sunday? Kids ablaze. Anything else? Any other announcements? Anything else we got to do or say? Well, everybody stand up then. Grab that person's hand beside you. And let's pray. Father, I just thank you tonight. I just ask you to just, Lord, that as you're doing a change in our lives, you're just, I just believe you for good things. I believe you for good things all over all these people tonight. And I ask you tonight, Lord, to just, as they leave, to just bless them. As we go about our business and go about our daily affairs, I just believe you, Lord God, that you just give us all an increase in our lives. Lord, help us to help other people and tell them how great you are, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.